Bastard. Welcome, 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 guys, to the Still On Podcast. I am your boy, Kane. This is my dog, Ace.
What up?
And we are officially bringing you guys the video version of the pod. We normally do this through audio, but we said, you know what? It's time to switch it up. We always knew we wanted to do this, but now is the time. So, Ace, my brother, it's good to see you, man. How was the weekend for you?
That was pretty good. Went to a Padres game. That was a lot of fun. Repped some Yankees gear while I was there because, the Bronx Bombers 20-9. So that was pretty
Oh,
good.
man.
Yeah, man. I had a lot of hate, but I also had a lot of love at the game because, it's a Padres game and they're playing someone other than the Yankees, and I'm over there dripped in Yankee gear. Why not? I ain't afraid. I'm all for it, man. Give it to me. But
That's what's up, bro.
watched that with my cousins and yeah, had a good time. What about you?
I didn't really do much this weekend, man. It was a pretty cool, chill out weekend for me, man. I just stayed around the crib, didn't do much. I stepped out to the bar yesterday with some friends for a birthday party. And yeah, it was just hanging out, man. It was just, taking back a couple of brews, having a cigar, and just chilling out. You know what I mean? That's the
I've
way I
never
like it,
smoked a
keeping it
cigar.
simple. Yeah, and you said you never have?
Never had, nah.
What? Hold on,
Never
so
smoked a
what's
cigar.
stopping you, man? What's stopping you?
I guess curiosity. I've always been the type of person that if I never was curious about trying something or doing something, I just won't do it. I mean, even if
Yeah.
there's like a bunch of people around me doing it, like I've never smoked a cigarette, never smoked weed. I've never smoked a cigar. I was really close to smoking a cigar in Florida over in Naples over at the cigar lounge, but couldn't pull the trigger.
No. Yeah, that's dope. I've been real with you, man. I wasn't really big on weed or anything like that either. In fact, the first time I ever tried it was involuntarily. This girl I used to be with, she asked me if I was hungry one day. And so I said, yeah, I am a little hungry, right? And so I'm at a house and she winds up giving me a cookie, right? Sitting there eating the cookie, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what. Now, me and the girl at the time, we were beefing, so we weren't the coolest. So I had to go up there, help out with an emergency. So, I was just like, everything good. So I go up there, everything cool. You good? All right, cool. She was like, no, just come over, come back to the crib. We don't have to leave right away. So I go over there, and then she asked me if I'm hungry. She's like, here, take a cookie. I got a couple of them left. And I was like, all
You
right,
got some
fine.
milk?
So, yo, I started eating it, yo, and I'm just like, after a while, like after I finished, I'm like, why is it so hot? Started to get hot.
Yo, she's like,
Start.
finally, Dave is high. He's mine.
Then, like, why do I feel like this right now? So I asked her, I was like, yo, what was up with that cookie? I was like, why do I feel like this? She was like, that was a weed cookie. I was like, why would you do that to me? I started spazzing because at the end of the day, I'm like, yo. She was like, Kane, relax. She was like, Kane, relax. Like, it's one of those things where, it could really mess with you.
Oh my
And, I
God.
was just pissed off, because in my mind, I'm just like, yo, like, I need this for jobs. I need to be able to, make sure that my blood is clean. I need to make sure my urine is clean because, I get drug tested a lot. A lot of jobs I go for, they require you to have, clean backgrounds. It just really messed with me. I was just like, why would you do that? You messed with my career.
You know what, Ken? That reminds me of something that happened with my dad, right? So he owned a security company, and he was like, "You know what? We're gonna go and do security at a golf course." Cool. I'm like 15, 16 years old. Turns out that someone canceled on him. My dad didn't have anybody else, so he's like, "You know what? You're gonna have to go and fill in. You'll be with someone who's, a grown up, an adult, and you'll just have to sit with him all night, guard the pro shop, and just make sure no one breaks in." Cool, right? So his name was Strawberry. That's the guy's name, not gonna lie. And it was when we had the old school DVDs. You put the CD in, you can plop it up. We're watching a movie, and he's like, "You hungry?" I'm like, "Absolutely." He says, "I got beef jerky. I got some brownies. I got all these things." And you know what? Your story just reminded me of that because he gave me some brownies. I was like scarfing them down, and he was like freaking out. Yo, you can't eat those like that, man." I'm like, "They're brownies." Not gonna lie, I was in the passenger seat and I felt like I was gonna die. I felt like I was drowning. So I stepped out of the car, my legs just took out and I fell down, hit my head, and I knocked the fuck out. That was the first and last time I've ever done that. He had to tell my dad what happened, and yeah, rest is history.
That's a funny story too, because I had another incident like that this time. I was eating a brownie, and it was a medicinal brownie, and I didn't know the specifics of the brownie. So I'm sitting there and I'm eating this thing, and I didn't realize, I'm scarfing this thing down, like I'm just killing it. And I get up and I go to the refrigerator. I was at my ex-girlfriend's house, same one who snuck me the weed cookie, by the way. And so I'm going. I'm going to the refrigerator to open the door, and I don't know if you remember, like, what's that movie, 21 Jump Street, when they were high and like
Hi,
they
my name
kept
is
stealing
Jeff.
stuff.
That
My
one?
name's Jeff. So I'm sitting there and I open the refrigerator, and it was like some Jabberwockies came out that bitch. Like, it
You
was
say
like, yo,
Jabberwockies, right?
yeah, like, yes.
I
It
just
was
want to
like
make sure
literally stuff was
we're on
coming out the
the
fridge. I saw this bright ass light. I was just like, yo, what is happening here right there? Like, and then my heart started racing. Like, I literally could not sleep that night. I barely could sleep because my heart was just going crazy. And I just kept, I'll never forget that whole night. I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, God, just let me get out of this alive, please. And then so I looked, I was like, yo, how much should I have had? And it said, the normal human dosage is only 10 milligrams, right? You know
How
how
much
much
do
I
you have?
ingested? That brownie was 210 milligrams. So I ingested about 160 in one shot. I was like, oh Lord, I'm about to
Oh, you
die.
don't read instructions before. Okay, gotcha. That
But
makes
it
sense.
wasn't like that. It wasn't like, it wasn't no instructions on it. Literally, it was just like, brownie.
Oh, I guess I'll take this. Cool. Yeah,
Yeah, it
all
was
right.
like, I'm like, yo, I don't know what the heck is going on right now.
Well, that's
And
fair, man.
I never forget, I sat in that bed the whole night. I'm just tossing and turning. And my ex was like, keep still. Like, why are you tossing? Like, just calm down. You'll be okay. And I was like, I'm gonna die tonight. I'm gonna die. Yo, I was so scared. Yo, I was high for like 48 hours, bro.
In the
I
tub
never
of
forget.
ice.
We went to the supermarket the next day. We were high. We went to another thing the next day. We were high. I was like, is this ever going to end, bro? Like, it was crazy. I kid you not.
No, I
It was a
hate that.
crazy time.
I don't mind the smell of it, but I hate when it's like the after smell where it smells like wet dog and like it's been soaking in the rain for like 2 days straight. And now it's inside of a nice, dry, humid house, and it's just smell out the place. I don't know. I smelled that a few times, and that just makes me want to throw up. So, wow.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it at all, man. It's one of those things for me that's just like,
But hey, if you love to do it, you know what I'm saying? If people love to do it, go
yeah,
ahead. You
yeah,
got
to
that.
each his own. Look, there's a lot of people I know that enjoy it, and it's purely recreational for them, and that's cool. Me, that's not my speed. You know what I'm saying? I'd much rather have a drink and call it a day. I'm a Sazerac kind of guy. You know what I mean?
Your Sazerac, wait, that's your favorite drink?
Yeah.
All right, before we start jumping into things, that's my favorite drink. I'm telling you right now, I mean, I have people that can attest to that, right? So I'm over in New Orleans and I was there for this get together for Brooks Brothers. And I was waiting for some people to get into town. They haven't come in yet. I'm like, it's 6 o'clock. Our convention's at 8. It's starting late. So I'm like, I'm going to go into a bar and I'm going to get a drink. So I go in, I'm asking for a Manhattan. The guy pulls me out of Sazerac. I didn't know what this was, but I knew it wasn't a Manhattan. And he goes, young man, enjoy this drink. And if you don't like it, it's on the house and I'll make you your Manhattan. I had three Sazeracs, one after another after another. It was, it, I just, I drank it. I drank it fast. I'm like, this thing just goes down. It's silky, right?
Yeah, it's
I
smooth, man.
then was walking and I'm like, oh my God, it's hitting me. I'm holding onto the walls. I'm walking. I can't do this, right? They canceled the event. So I'm like, oh God. Thank God they canceled the event. So what did I do? Turn back around, hugging the wall, going right back to that bar and got another one before Ubering myself back over to the hotel.
I was just thinking about it. That's actually one of the ones that we used to get when we would go over to Veronica, in the little spot. And
We did.
that's right. I'm telling you, man, them things were hitting, bro. That was a time. That was a time, bro. Yeah, man. It just, that makes me think because, we had that city life popping off. We did that for a long time. And, I was just sitting there, and I remember, like, when we first were there, that's when Trump had got elected to office, right? That was his first term because it was like 2 years in. And I'll never forget, like, there were some TV screens up and they had some stuff he had going on in there. And we just, like, what is it this time? Like, every day it was something new, right? And then, of course, he's back in there. So it's like the bad kind of deja vu. And, we see he's talking about a third term, right? And
Yo.
And it's crazy.
Third.
This was foretold. This was foretold. Like, people were talking about this. Like, yo, if he gets in there, he might not try to leave. He might not leave. He might just try to figure out a way to stay.
I mean, that was the concern when he was first in office, right? So now that he's in office again, I'm pretty sure he's thinking to himself, why do I have to leave? I have a following. I have good backers. So he thinks, right, he's friendly with different countries. Why not take that extra step and say, let me go for a third term? Putin did it. Putin did
Right.
multiple terms. Why not?
Exactly. Yep.
So what does that
Yep.
mean for the competition?
And that's my issue right now is I feel like a lot of the stuff that's happening is it was something that everybody literally said, if he gets back in there, watch out. And he's trying to make it where, I know we talked about the fact that the 22nd Amendment literally bars anybody from running for more than 2 terms, right? Like, you can only be a president for 2 times, right?
But
And yeah, go ahead.
things can change.
And that's one of the things that, I'll be honest with you, like, really upsets me about the Democratic Party is the fact that they don't push limits the way Republicans do. Like, one thing about the Republicans is, like, they have no fear, no moral, like o-rings to keep them in place. They will literally do whatever is expedient. You know what I'm saying? We had Mitch McConnell when the Supreme Court justice had passed away. Normally, Obama would have been able to get him nominated and get him right inside the courts, relatively no issues. McConnell was like, nope, he held that position, that seat open for over a year, bro. Like, over a year. And he, and this is crazy. Like, at that time, he was like, yeah, it's almost close to an election year. We'll let the president, decide. The new president side, right? And then when Trump was in office, literally a couple of months before his time was ending, they pushed through the last person. And I was like,
Put his dick out.
yeah, right on the table. It was like, bam, there we go. Like,
Hey, man, it's wild when you say that because you wonder why good girls love bad boys. You know what I'm saying? Like bad boys freaking do the thing. Like they get shit done. They'll go out there, they'll start swinging, ask questions next. The good guys will be asking the questions, determining whether or not they have to take action and go after it, right? America loves the dick
bad
swingers.
boy. Yep.
Exactly. Like
Yep.
I want you to go toe to toe with whomever. And I want you to beat them down so good that America's tattooed on their ass by the time we're done. That's what the Republican Party is doing. They're putting their name on everyone's ass and saying, I own you.
Yep. They're putting that on the table. I think that's the crazy thing about American society today is, like, we're seeing more and more. Like, this is the age of the know nothings. If you think about it, because I heard that term a couple of years ago,
No,
and it
nothing.
was like, well, what is, it's basically all these people in office, all these people in these high positions of leadership that don't know anything about what they oversee. All right. You got the Pete Hegseths in office right now who don't know a lick about what they're doing. You got Robert F. Kennedy in there who doesn't know shit about shit. Like, he and the top official, like the top epidemiologist there, one of the top like scientists, he literally resigned and he was like, yo, this guy does he believes so much in conspiracy theory, you cannot dissuade him with facts. Like, and that's a problem. Like, you are in the very position where facts, statistics, all that stuff matters.
Absolutely. People want to hear that. They want to hear
Yeah.
what ifs, or they want you to be confident with what you're saying. Even if your facts aren't facts, that's facts to someone else. If I say that, the poor can fend for themselves, they make enough money to live, comfortably. I don't know why they need food stamps, et cetera. And I say it with such conviction, and I say it with such, demand, people will believe that. And that makes it a fact, right? So in a world of twisted information, what is fact and what is fiction?
That's a great point. It's like you said, the false things always tend to stick with people longer than the truth does. What do they say? Lies always like spread faster than truth, right? And when you got a bunch of people in the office who will say whatever needs to be said, you give them all a party line, they're gonna tow it. You give them all a cue card or index card with some points on there. You will hear that same point on every single show throughout the course of the week. You know what I'm saying? Until you notice right now, they're not even talking about Signal Gate anymore, right? Ever since. Now, mind you, that's one of the biggest scandals of national security that's ever happened in this country in terms of national security
Where's
information.
the outlets talking about this? Where are the picket lines? Where is social media blasting this party for doing what they did. I mean, you don't see that. Yeah. Again, it's the bad boys doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And people be like, you know what? That's just what they do, right?
Yep.
You get the good boys doing that. That's not what they do. That's not the norm. Let's go at them.
Yep. You're right. And, you know, and then for them to just say, hey, it is what it is. Like, it happened. So what? You know, it's what are you going to do about it? Yeah. And then you got Trump saying, I'm not firing anybody. Even though behind the scenes, they were saying he was thinking about firing the national security advisor behind it. But in the public, he's just basically like, I'm not firing nobody. Like, they're good. They're not going anywhere. And it's just like, come on.
It's an oopsie. It's an oopsie, bro. You go to timeout. You're good.
Bro, it's like one of the biggest issues. And then, like, you got Tulsi Gabbard on the stand. They like, you know, this is classified information. She was like, well, I don't believe it's classified. They're talking about war plans, what time the bombs are going to drop, the weather conditions, the actual types of weapons to be dropped. That's not considered a war plan? Like, is that really what we're saying right now? So
it's not confidential if you guys know it, so.
All right. And then the point is, okay, you're saying it's not confidential, then publish the information and then put it out there for everybody to see. And yeah. She said, oh, it's under investigation. Right? I don't know. Clearly, you're trying to have it both ways. And that's what they really called it on, you know? But, you know, it just brings us all back to that issue of just like, they're going to flout the rules however they want to. And it's up to us to see how we push back on that. Like, this is really the time we will have to push.
I mean, I don't think people are going to push, man. I think some people would think it's a great idea, right? Like, they'll probably see the upside of having a third term. They'll say, well, if things are going good, why do we need to change? Why do we continuously need changes if we're having a presidency that is good in their mind, right? Looks good on their paper. Why not continue going through that same administration? Why change it? Why? And then I see the separation in this country when it comes to that. You know, it's like I hear people say, well, you know what? We only need one party, and that's either the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or whatever parties they believe in. And, you know, it just makes you think, well, why are we heading in this direction? What are the reasons why we're heading in this direction? And how can we kind of nip it or curve it to where we can just fall back in line with why democracy is so important within this country?
You know, we're on the brink of authoritarianism, you know, and it requires...
Scary word. That's a scary word.
It requires people who don't know what that actually means. Like, it's a lot of people right now that are adults that never really read about history. They never really read about what authoritarian leaders did, right? Like, they never really cared about that stuff. So in their mind, hey, who cares, right? But the people that have read the history, that have traveled the world, that have seen it happen in different places, like, this is not a good thing. Like, you know what I mean? It is not something that we want to happen here, you know, and people don't realize that.
And so how do we make those changes, and how do we hold them accountable? You know? How do we hold these politicians accountable?
You know, I'll be real with you, man. I don't know if those days will exist anymore. I think what it's going to require is the rich getting so rich and powerful that now everybody now has to stand up together and be like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. Like, y'all shouldn't have all this power, all this money, and we're still struggling to survive. Like, I really believe that's what it will take. It'll be like shows like us. There's this show that comes on TV where everybody's on a train, and the richest people are on one part of the train, and the poor are on another.
Polar Express or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's like one of those types of shows. And it's just like, you know, we're getting to a point where, like, class warfare, it will become a thing, because you're going to have such a concentrated amount of money and power in just 20, 30 people. And meanwhile, the rest of the country is, you know, some could be doing well.
The middle class.
No more. Pretty simple. You know, and I just feel like at this point, you know, we got to, yes, he might be pushing the boundaries a little bit. Like, you see what he's trying to do with the Supreme Court, or just the courts in general. He's basically saying the judges don't have jurisdiction over the executive branch. Like, the judge that was like stopping him and saying, listen, I'm going to put out a nationwide injunction on what you're trying to do. And in their minds, who are you to stop the executive branch? No other president has ever questioned that. You know, yes, they might not be happy with the ruling, but they still abide by it, right? And Trump and his team, you could tell they're setting the framework and the groundwork to say,
on the seats.
Yep. Judges are no longer valid, right? And that could bubble all the way up to the Supreme Court, right? Because they get to the point where they could say, you know, who's going to stop us? I got the police in my pocket. I got the AG's office who can literally go out and execute warrants. The U.S. Marshals, all of them basically fall under the executive branch. So he's like, you can't enforce it, so... what you gonna do?
We need a Batman.
Big facts. That's a fact.
That's a bro.
So Bruce Wayne, if you're out there.
We need someone to hold him accountable. You know what I mean? Like, accountability is so important. But when you have accountability and you don't change your actions and you don't change your methods, right? Like, what is that? What is that really doing for you? And I have a question, right? Like, would serving 3 terms or serving more than 2 terms, would that be beneficial to the American people if we do have a good government in place?
That's a good question. Like, to be honest, I wonder why they put that limitation in place to begin with. What was it that they saw that said, okay, we don't think a president should be president more than 2 terms? Like, there had to
Dictatorship.
be, right. Like, there had to be something that, like, I think, yes, people become so entrenched in a certain way of doing things that it's like, okay, beyond 2 terms, certain things are almost irreversible, right? Like, yes, you can have parties of power. You could have a Republican House and Senate and maybe a Democratic president. Like, there's checks and balances somewhere. But at a certain point, like, if they're all aligned, if it's just one party in the House and the Senate and the presidency, then yeah, you could have it where they could set policies that will take decades to get out of. Like, you see right now what Trump is doing, creating all these enemies around the world. It's going to take us years to undo all the stuff that he did in just a couple of
Yes.
months.
And then afterwards, let me come right back. Oh, you got a thumbs up. Love that. And then afterwards, he's going to come back and say, I was doing so well in my term. Bring me back and things will be the way it was, which would be basically just him just shit talking other companies and other countries and creating this type of separation that will be irreversible.
It's a scary thing, man. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. And I've been telling people for years, I was like, if this guy wins, I will seriously be looking at property outside the country. Like, and I am. I really
Everyone,
am.
yep, a lot of people said that. It's crazy. And some people own up to it, some celebrities.
I really am. Like, I'm not playing any games with this. I feel like if this is the beginning of the end of the experiment of democracy, it's like, what really keeps us here? There's really not much that keeps us here at this point, because that's what's holding us to some level of, like you mentioned before, accountability, some level of decency. If that's gone and you only have one party in power, it doesn't make sense for a lot of people to stay here. It really doesn't.
I mean, the American dollar, it's pretty strong.
For now. But we see what's happening with all this tariff stuff happening. We see what's happening with Japan, South Korea, and China. They now have banded together and said, okay, now mind you, they've never worked together. They haven't even spoken in 5 years. Spoken. And now
That's
they're at a
crazy.
point where they literally came up with a deal to where they can trade with each other, right? And so they're like, we're going to exclude the US, out of our economic dealings. Now it's just us. What are we going to do? And so they figured out a way around them. Canada's figuring out ways around them.
Yeah, they're fucking done with us.
And we see what's happening in France with Marine Le Pen. Like, she is, she just got found guilty of embezzlement. By embezzling, she was embezzling, I think, like European Union funds. And so the court sentenced her to 4 years in prison and basically said she is barred from running for office.
4 years, that's it.
4 years, right?
Cool. Cool.
Right. All
But
right. So,
they found her guilty, right? And she's like out of office.
She can't run for office. And so now, which is good because it shows there's some level of accountability, over there. We were talking about this briefly before. It's like, could that even happen here? Like, what do you think? Do you think that that's something that the US is even capable of?
Absolutely not. We are too far divided. I mean, granted, there's division in many other countries, but in America, we hold a lot of pride over being an American, over what we believe in and what country looks like, as opposed to what foreign powers look like. We're not like them, right? I'm not trying to quote Kendrick, but
They're not like us.
it's very true. It's like, we're not those people. We're not this, this type of, government. We don't do things like that. Here we do things differently. And I think if we were to do that in America, it will take away a lot of political strength. It'll take away a lot of organizations trying to do business within America because we like to bend. We like to be very pliable for these, new companies to come in and do business with us so we can, have some type of funds off of whatever type of, organization that they may be bringing in. And I think that's the power that we have, right? And if I were to go a little deeper, look at the entire world and you see U.S. soldiers in all these different countries, all different outposts in many different countries, the Philippines, you know, you go to Afghanistan, you go to Iraq, you go to, you know, all these different countries, and you can see that we have a foothold everywhere, but you don't see many of these other countries having footholds in, you know, many countries. You don't see them in America having footholds there either, you know, so we have to have some type of power, some type of foot on the throat of either our competitors or even those that are, that we're partnering up with. And that's kind of like how we operate, right? It's like, we're going to let you know we're a big brother. We're not little brother ever.
Right. They call it like quiet strength, right? Like there was a president that used to say, you walk softly or you talk softly, but you carry a big stick, right? Like, and you know, it's just right. Like it's one of those things where, you know, soft power, like you have to be able to, you know, exert yourself in a way to where people know, okay, yeah, big brother's coming around, but you have to set that tone early. You know, kind of like what we talked about last week. You got to set those terms early. You got to put people on line fast so that way they know, oh, yeah, that's the U.S. downplay, you know?
Absolutely.
But I think when it comes to accountability, that's one of the things where we suffer the most, because what we've seen is that it's rare for people in power or people of a certain level of wealth. They don't get put away for long spells of time. You know, you have all these executives who commit these scandals like embezzlement or cooking the books like Enron, and their terms and their punishments are so small. They get these golden parachutes and get all this money to just kind of chill out. Yeah, they might get a slap on the wrist, but that's as far as it goes. And it's like, you see that there's two worlds, there's two universes. People with very little money or next to nothing, or, you know, moderate, let's say even moderate income, right? They're going to jail. The book is getting thrown at them, right?
Absolutely.
You know, there is no question about, did you do the crime? Are you going to jail? No. Like, but if you are wealthy, you got money, you might escape. You might be able to get off. And so I think like that's why this whole case has been really something that Elon Musk has been upset about, because, of course, that's his party. You know, he's all about the super far right these days. And now it's a harbinger for him, because it's like, OK, if they can do that over there, you know, who's to say that we can't do that here, even though, again, our track record is weak on this. But who's to say we can't do it?
Again, that's tough. We've had it where people have been, you know, investigated. There have been, you know, some charges, convictions. I mean, you had Trump who was convicted. I mean, that's probably the only one I could really think of when it comes to, you know, some serious crimes, right? And I don't see that happening, you know, where you're going to get convicted and then you're also going to face a punishment, right? If you're convicted, you're still good because you hold a very powerful presence, not only in this, you know, this country, but you also hold it in the world. And if we show any type of weakness or any type of, you know, uncertainty with what we're doing, we lose a lot from that. And we can't have that.
Yeah, and you're right. And the fact that not only did he not suffer any consequences, but he was reelected to office. It's like, you reward this type of behavior. It's not that you tolerate it or that you punish someone for it. You reward it. I can literally, and he said it years ago, I could walk out on Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and still get, you know, and still not lose the support of my people. That's just crazy to me. Like, that level of, like, just dismissiveness, cognitive dissonance, where it's just like, yeah, he did it, so what? Who cares? And did he really do it? Like, how do you know? Where's the proof? Like, they're so quick to find a way around stuff and just twist themselves in knots to not say or not acknowledge that, yeah, we messed up. You know, he messed up.
Absolutely. It's impossible. I had a conversation with someone at the bar, and they were comparing Trump with Nelson Mandela, and they were like, they both, you know, were doing great things, and they were, you know, wrongly convicted. And, you know, granted, Trump didn't get thrown in jail, but he was still convicted, and, you know, they're just doing some great things on that. And they both led their countries afterwards. And I'm looking at them like, are you stupid? Like, you gotta be next level stupid.
Yeah.
Don't make those comparisons at all.
Right.
I mean,
Like this.
that's just crazy. I can't even.
Hey, well, you see, they're trying to get him on Mount Rushmore. Like they're trying to put his.
Stop. I'm hurting.
Bro, it boggles my mind. They're talking about giving him a national holiday. They're talking about naming an airport after this guy. There's nothing that they will not ask for. I wouldn't be surprised if they asked for him to be put in the Bible retroactively. Let's figure out a way to get him in there. Maybe he was one of the 12 disciples. Like, I would not be
Okay.
surprised.
That's taking it a stretch, but you know what? Now that you're saying it, I'm kind of believing it.
Bro, like, we see what respect they have for the Bible. They don't use it in what they do on a daily basis. So, if they don't care about what's there, even though they profess to, right? They're always about making sure the Bible's available in schools and whatnot. But when it comes to actually living by it, they don't live by that stuff. So it's like they probably would. They would probably try to get his name in there somewhere. It'll be some like Roman version, like Denaldicus or some bullshit. Like, you know what I'm saying? He would be in there somehow.
I mean,
But you can't put anything past these guys.
to be honest with you, man, it's so funny that you talked about the Bible for a second because there was a pastor who had his ushers close the doors. Yo,
Bro.
he said, close the doors. Close the doors. I want every single one of you to donate. How was it $20 or $100?
$20. 20, well,
$20.
for, yeah.
And then he goes, I also want people online. There's 1,000 of you. I want you to also donate $20, and you can do it. And he's telling them that giving's a praise or something like that. He was like, giving is a praise, like you gotta give. And I'm thinking, like, that's crazy.
He said giving was a part of their worship, right? And I think that's what. So yeah, to the point where when he was saying like lock the doors, he had to say it a couple of times because the ushers were
Yeah,
like
they were
what do you mean
confused.
lock the doors? But that's actually a kidnapping charge. Like you can't do that. You cannot like hold people beyond their will in any capacity. Like he literally kept them and said nobody's leaving until. And then he said, "If you all are paying electronically, I want you to come up here and show me your phone."
And he was counting the cash as people were giving it to him. He was counting it, and I'm thinking to myself, my dog,
Bro.
what are you doing? So tithing is like a huge thing, obviously, when you're in churches, right? Cool. So some congregations, they require a percentage on household incomes, so it's often mandatory to become a member. Like you have to do that to become a member, right?
Correct.
So
Correct.
he's looking back and he's like, you guys need to earn your spot up here and give me money too. Like he and he was sweating. I saw the beginning when he was first sweating, he was like little spots. Afterwards, he was drenched. You could tell he was hurting. He ain't gonna pawn his Rolex.
Right, exactly. It's like lead by example, brother. Tell me how much you're gonna donate to the church.
He's in debt.
And that's what I was about to say. Like, the scourge of religion on this country, especially like the super church, that's what I'll say, right? The super church. You got the John Ossoff, not John Ossoff. What's that guy's name? The one that has his own church, that huge church, right? And listen, there's some guys who move a certain way. And it's like they made church a business, right? They made being in this business. It's no longer really about helping people. It's just how can I enrich myself? Because you look at these cars they have, you look at these planes, they're not riding around scrimping and scraping. You are paying for their lifestyles. And people will go broke doing it. Like people have literally spent their last dollars barely eating, their family barely eating, and yet these pastors and deacons are riding around in style.
I mean, and I think it's wild to me, right? Like you have to pay, right? He's like making people pay for a service. And I went to church when I was a kid, and I never had to pay. My dad, I don't know if he had to pay, but I'm assuming he didn't. But then I hear stories of when my buddy was telling me, he was talking about this. He's like, when my parents go to church, I was in the kid church, right, where all the kids go, and even kids would have to give tithing,
Wow.
and they would take it from the kids, and then after they take it, they'll go and they'll count it and do the whole thing and put it into an envelope and give it to the pastor. And you got to look at this too, right? All the money they receive, that's also their pastor's income, and all of that is not taxable.
That's right.
So like If it's not taxable, you're keeping every damn penny.
Yep.
What are you doing with that? Where is, you know, HR, right? Where is HR when you need one for the churches?
Where's accounting? Exactly.
Yeah, that's not good. Don't do that.
That's a fact, you know, and that's where, you know, like you said, the fact that they're able to just, you know, and that having kids donate at such a young age, you're training them, right? You're basically molding their brains to get used to the idea of giving your money to the church, you know. And there's always this nefarious, the building fund, right? I'm sure you've heard of that before. Like, every church has a building fund. And where does that money really go? The building never gets updated. There's never any new air conditioning, never any new, like, anything. Like, no new floors, no new carpets. It's just, no, wow. It's just to keep us running and going. But yet he'll pull up in a nice brand new Cadillac or a nice brand new Hummer or Rolls Royce, Bentleys, like, and it's getting real disgusting, like, and especially in times like this when people, again, are struggling as it is. To me, you have to be a certain level of bad to be able to take people's money in these times, especially. That's a big problem.
That's pretty down bad when it comes to that. Yeah. And I saw another thing on Instagram where another pastor, you know, he was messing around, did the same thing. He goes, all right, I'm going to ask the ushers to close the doors. He goes, I'm kidding. We don't do that here. He goes, God likes happy givers.
Yeah, like why? If you could ask God, would he be okay with that? I'm pretty sure the answer would be hell no. Like, no.
Respectfully, of course. Cool.
Right, respectfully. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, smite somebody doing some stuff like that, you know?
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's just, again, it's just a bad time out here for a lot of people, and that's why. You know, I think when we're looking at the economy and we see what's happening there and we see jobs changing, literally in the past year alone, right? We've seen the types of jobs that were once popular, that were once almost a sure thing. You were going to get a high six-figure salary, you know, to have a job like this, like, you know, developers. And now we see AI has literally decimated almost the developer, like, marketplace. It's become, I never saw this coming. Like, I remember wanting to build programs and applications when I was, you know, a couple of years ago. I'm like, man, I got this idea for something, but I just don't know enough code to do it. So I would teach myself stuff here and there, but it never really stuck. I was like, let me just try to find some developers. I'm just get some guys to help me with it, right?
Bucks.
And now I can literally go right to ChatGPT or to Claude and say, hey, here's what I'm trying to do. These are all the things that I'm trying to make happen in the next month or so. I need the code for it. It will literally spit out the code, tell you how to implement it, tell you where you could test it for yourself, and then you can push it to say, I don't like this. Like, right now, like, I've created like two different applications right now using like AI, and I'm like, yeah, this is cool, but I want to change this. I want to make the color or the theme this. I want to give more information to these types of customers and these types of customers, right? And it will say, oh, okay, cool. It will go and make the modifications for me. So it just, like, I think if I would have had a developer team, I remember I hired a developer one time for a passion project of mine, and, you know, I had to rely on him to get the job done. He was taking weeks and weeks. I had to push him to give me an update, a status update, right? And, you know, I'm just spending money. And then he would show me something. I was like, I don't like this. Let's tweak this, that. Let's do this. You know what I'm saying? And it was just a constant back and forth.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm spending money, but the results are coming a little too slow for my taste. But yet, I could go right in ChatGPT, and in minutes, it's going to give me something close to what I'm looking for.
Time saving, you got error detection, all that within 5 minutes. Less than that.
Yeah. Like, it will actually debug its own code. Like, I can literally say, hey, I got this error when I did this. Like, if I'm trying to put that code somewhere else, and it will say, oh, this is what happened. So, you know, I put a comma when I should have put an apostrophe or something like that. Like, it will actually.
Little error detections. Yeah.
Yeah. It will find its own errors. And I, you know, I've been on these types of teams before. I've managed these teams. And sometimes it takes hours to find errors. It takes, you know, mind you, we're talking about advanced teams. We're talking about people who know what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? And it would take them like a huge amount of time, sometimes days. Like, stuff will be down for days. And you don't know the length of time that you know, it's going to take to find out an issue. Meanwhile, you put it right in there and it comes right back at you.
Yeah. I see those pros, and I think to myself, that's key, right? With having AI compared to having, you know, a team of people or even a person helping you work on, you know, say, your passion project.
Yeah.
But the biggest con for me is the over-reliance on AI. And that scares the crap out of me because let's say my background is in L&D, right? And I want to, you know, find a job that is heavy in L&D and, you know, it's in need of one. And I go and they ask me, you're perfect for this role. Do you know how to work open source, ChatGPT, any type of AIs? And I say, no, I'm not really well-versed, but I can always learn. And they're going to look at you and say, well, you're not really versed in that. And that's someone that we need. And even though you're good on paper, if you don't have that, you're out. And they'll get someone who probably has a third of my experience, but is completely well-versed in AI, and they will get it because AI is more about storytelling. It's more about asking the questions and the follow through. And it's so great. I was talking to a friend about this and he was like, you know, first it was the internet and it was the internet. Then it came with, you know, code. You have to learn Python. You have to learn all these type of things. And it took a lot of money to learn and you get paid a lot of money to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. But it was very few, not many. And then it became the apps and, you know, it was, you know, more kid friendly, but still you have to learn how to, you know, write code and do all these things. And, you know, you could learn it, but it's still strenuous. Maybe go to school for it. And now you have AI, which is you having a conversation with it and asking it the right questions and learning through, you know, not just your questions, but how you are delivering each and every step along the way. I thought to myself, that's crazy.
Yeah. And it's showing where the shift in AI is going to be. I literally read an article earlier yesterday, and it was talking about the fact that, you know, a lot of the jobs that, you know, we've come accustomed to, for instance, drivers, people who drive across country, train operators, they make up a large portion of the jobs in this country. And as AI gets better and better, it's going to take those jobs over. Those jobs are no longer going to be with us anymore.
Conductors from the trains.
Yeah, yo. Like, and not only that, but when you think about just, you know, teacher nurses, then, like, they're talking about the fact that AI will take over what nurses do, because now you'll be able to walk into a facility and a robot will come up to you and ask you what you have. And honestly, you know, their rate of solution, they can solve problems very fast. They can find the root cause of an issue pretty quickly, right? Whereas a lot of times now we know it's trial and error. So I do see some benefit there. But at the end of the day, we're still talking about so many jobs being lost, right? Like, what will people now be able to do? We thought that these jobs were, like you said before, you go to school, you invested in yourself, you went to college, you learned these different programming languages, you learned, you know, how to become a nurse, how to become a doctor, a surgeon even. And now in AI, they're actually, with AI, they have machines now who are able to literally stitch up kernels of corn. I was watching a video and they showed a micro stitching of a piece of corn. And it just made me realize, like, nothing is safe. Like, almost nothing is safe. And so, like, they showed the jobs that are actually going to be migrating is more people who can speak, people who can communicate, right? People who can, like you mentioned before, tell a story. That's where the jobs are going to be. It's no longer in the knowledge economy.
So you said surgery, grow stitching on a corn. Initially, I thought to myself, I trust that over a person, if you can do that. But then I also thought about these hackers in the world and what they're able to do and how they're able to, you know, hack governments. Don't think they'll be able to hack a machine that's in a hospital. I'm sorry, but I appreciate human eye and what they detect and emotion and thinking. I feel as if, given our conversation, something that wasn't input into the machine, that they were on blood thinners 3 months ago, I probably shouldn't do this type of
it's more instinct.
And that's what you lose when it's AI. But if you have AI that can have instinct, then we're fucked. So.
And honestly, it's getting to that point. Like, I was, look, my feed, anybody that knows me, like, my IG feed has been nothing but technology now, like, entrepreneurial stuff. Like, yes, there's some ratchet stuff in there as well.
Like, yep.
But, like, exactly, you know. But, you know, my thing is you're really starting to see how robots can take over. And some things, yes, I do agree with that being good, but it's a slippery slope. Because the more, you know, you can have machines take over, you have to think, when you have AI on the road or, you know, automated drivers, You no longer have to worry about breaks. They can literally go coast to coast across the country and never have to worry about ever stopping for a bathroom break, right? Or to go to sleep. So that's literally hours of additional, advantage or money that they're saving, and the fact that they don't have to have human workers anymore. So, I was just thinking that it's really going to be an interesting time. It's really going to be like they said, like 90 plus million jobs will be created, but nearly 80 million jobs will be lost, from this shift. And so, yeah, it's going to
There's
be very interesting.
this movie called, I think, The Electric State. Have you heard about that on
Oh, yeah, I just
Netflix?
heard about that. It just came out, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So they have robots, they have a conscious, and you just mentioned they're gonna do the jobs that people don't want to do, right? Turns out that they don't want to do those jobs anymore. Well, they do, they fight back, and I'm gonna be real with you. If titanium alloy hit my arm, I'm done. If it's crushing my head, I'm done. Like, I'm not fighting a robot. That's like hitting a car. Why would you do that?
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense. So my thing is like, is it a really a good thing to be given, robots? And by the way, I really do think that robots are one day going to have a conscious and they're going to wipe us out. Is it okay to bring them out into the world and have them do the things that we don't want to do? Like, I get that we've already started doing that with having the internet or having a machine that can total everything for us without actually manually putting it in, by scanning the barcode. There's things that we automatically, input into a machine and it spouts out information that we would have to spend 30 minutes doing within seconds. But is it okay to start putting humanoid robots out there to do the things that humans have been doing?
That's a great point. I mean, when you take the human side out of things, and look, let's not be naive here. Humans, we don't always have the best interests of people at heart either, right?
No.
Like, ro robots are learning from somebody. You know what I'm saying? So, I think if anything, like to me, robots are literally a mathematical equation. It's what makes the most sense, right?
You're dying
And some
first.
movies, like you
Got
think
you.
about like iRobot, right? Like the whole issue that he was mad about in the movie iRobot was the fact that the robot saved him versus the kid because statistically, mathematically, it made more sense to save the man because the kid might not make it, right? And so, while they make those tough decisions, a parent or somebody looking on would go save the kid because they're like, that kid will suffer, And so it just creates this whole difference of opinion, whereas we're using emotion, we're using some form of logic, some form of instinct. Robots are strictly saying statistically what makes the most sense. I'm going to go do this right here, And I think that that's one of those things that for me, while I do like, because one, it saves time, right? It saves time. Like it's efficient for a robot to say, or immediately say, no, you know what? Nope. That's not where the money is. That's not where the value is. The value is here, right? So you go right in that direction. And hopefully in most cases, that's the right thing to do.
He's a
But in
cop.
those very rare cases where you need somebody to weigh the cost and to look at both things, it's like, what's right? And that's where you need a human.
Damn, I don't want robots to take over the world, man.
Yeah, and it's like I do see the usefulness of them. Like, I think it would be very interesting to see. Like, for instance, they show this facility. I think it's a Kroger's facility in I can't remember what state. I think it might be Georgia or Louisiana. But they showed literally at one facility, it operates like literally almost the entire portion of the state. Right, it can literally like the robots. They actually go find the exact pieces or like the groceries that they need. They put them into the car. The car delivers the groceries literally to the door. Like, there's just so much, usefulness that I see. But also, when you think about it, it's like, why are they moving so fast? It's to save money, right?
I got something for you. Watching this thing on, again, Instagram. This lady puts her baby in the car and forgot something inside. I think it was her shades. Goes inside, gets her shades. As she's coming out, a battery drops from the sky and hits the front of her car. And she just put her baby in the back seat. And you hear the baby screaming, and she's running out there and opens the door like Superwoman, gets her child out. And the message was, there was a drone carrying a battery, a car battery, from point A to point B, because that was the quickest route, and they were testing it, and the drone unlatched and dropped the battery. And it makes you think, man, like, we're testing things out over, civilians, live civilians. Why not do this in the desert? We have all the property, right? But it's crazy when I saw that video and it scared the crap out of me. So as I was walking the other day, I kept looking up and didn't realize I almost got hit by a car. And I was like, yeah, I got to focus on the ground now. Don't look up. Nope.
That's the, it's, I always wondered about that too. Like, what if in that rare case, like you mentioned before, hackers or just malfunction in general, or, you know, AI taking over and saying, you know what? No, I'm going to do it this way because this is the best way, right? How do you set those guardrails, man? And I think that's the tough part that we're going to struggle with is how do we make sure that it.
Kill switch.
Yeah. And the thing is, once you build AI that's so smart, it can predict where that kill switch might be. Like, it's going to come up with all these statistical reasons for why you might have done this or might do that. Like, it's going to think ahead because, again, at that point, AI is about its survival of itself, right? It's no longer about survival of the civilization. It cares about how can I make sure I'm still here.
Thinking about the things that we don't know, that we don't know, that we don't know. That's they're going bounds in their thoughts when we can't even scratch the surface. What is it? We can access what, 7% of our brain, something like that.
Yeah.
AI 100%.
That's right.
There was no blockage for them. We can build that, but as you just mentioned, they can see that and say, you know what, I'm going to find a way to go around that and then shoot up to more. Like I'm at 60%. Uh-huh. I'm gonna shoot to 65. Oh, yeah. You found out that I got to 65. Now you have another guardrail. I'm going to go around that until I get to 100. And next thing you know, I'm going to figure out all the switches, turn them off. I'm in charge.
That's right. And, you know, that just makes me think, too, because AI has been so heavily used in the art world, too. A lot of artists now are like screaming about the fact that AI, you can literally give AI prompt. I'll say, hey, create this type of picture for me. And it'll do it. ChatGPT just launched this thing called, I think it's called something Ghibli, Studio Ghibli, right? Ghibli. And yeah. And basically what it does is, you know, you could just tell it, hey, create me this scene using this type of art. But the actual artist who created that style is like, this is robbery. Like, this is a bane on our existence. Like, because there's a true value in having artists. And look, as an artist, I can say it really just makes us realize that one, more artists will become valuable. Because the fact that AI is so prevalent, more people will want art that is created by an actual human. You know, like I can see it where they say, this is AI art. I don't want that because AI art holds no value.
Unless you see how beautiful the mind is on the portrait, then you say, wow.
Yeah.
I never thought of doing that or thinking of that. But you mentioned Bob Ross, man. There are no bad mistakes.
That's my boy, man.
He's a killer, but yeah.
With the happy trees, man. The happy tree. Which means a killer? What?
Yeah, you never heard that theory? But every scenery that he paints is pretty much where he buried bodies of the woman he killed. You never seen that?
No.
Well, yeah, look it up. So all the portraits, if you look at all of his portraits, someone did like a run through from his first all the way to his last, and they're all pretty much the same images, right? Like same scenery, different angles. And they were like, that's where he buried his bodies. He visited so often that he knows what to pay. And I'm like, yo, that's wild. Yo.
That's crazy, man.
Yo, Bob Ross the killer.
Yo. Hey, you think about it, he's such a chill guy. Like, you know, you could tell before he got up to this and Mark, he was just like, let me get up out here and see what's going on. Let me just get some good smoke, you know?
Facts.
He was having a good old time. You know, good old Bob Ross. In fact, you know, there's a whole channel debated to Bob, like devoted to Bob. I actually watch it quite a bit.
I love watching him. I used to watch him at the bar that I used to go to. Really? I'll be in there and there'll be sports on. I'll be like, I like Bob Ross, man.
That's dope.
No, but I mean, it just comes to shows that, you know, human mistakes, human error is what makes art more beautiful, right? I don't know. There's a few artists out there who will do one take when singing a song, and then they'll put that out as one of the songs in their album. And Ed Sheeran's one of them. I was watching, what was it, Johnny Blanco? Is that his name? He was
Billy Blanco.
Yeah. Billy Blanco. He was getting his face drawn by Devin, who does, you know, portraits in New York. He stops people and takes a portrait of them by drawing them. It's amazing. But he was talking to him and he was like, yeah, you know, what's your favorite artist to work with and why? And he goes, Ed Sheeran. He'll do one run through and if he makes a mistake, he'll stick with it. If guitar is out of tune, it'll be out of tune for his music. If he says something that he shouldn't have said, he'll just keep it. and have it in there. And he'll say, all right, I've done my take, and he'll go. I thought that was pretty dope. I'm like, man, human error is a beautiful thing because people will see that as art. They won't know that it's an error, but they'll know that it's, you know,
that's a fact. Beautiful. I mean, you think about, yeah, like some of the funniest scenes in movies, like, have been all improv, right? Like, that wasn't what was actually written on the script. It'll be a Will Ferrell or any one of these guys going out there and just, yeah, like, they'll just go out there and just riff. Like, they'll just make jokes, yep, and that'll be some of the funniest moments of a movie. Or even Jay-Z, right? Like, you know, he's one of those guys, he doesn't write anything, right? He only just go in the studio, he gets it thrown in his mind, and he'll spit some bars, and that'll be some of the best bars you've ever heard. You know, I think that there's a beauty in our unpredictability, like how we can just go in the studio or just come up with something on a whim, right? And it might not be anything. And to us, and that's what I love about art too, is the fact that it's subjective, right? Like, and, you know, I might do something and be like, nah, that was trash, or I really didn't like it, all right? But somebody else will see it and be like, oh my God, like, my mind is blown right now. You know what I mean? Like, and that's happened to me before. Like, I've done pieces of art, or, you know, maybe I produce music too. So, like, I made, like, certain songs before, and I'd be like, that's a throwaway, I don't really like that one. So I'm like, man, let me get that. Like, let me get that song right then. I'd be like, what? You want this? And you're going to pay me for it? You're going to pay? Yo, like, that. Like, it's shocking to me, but it just goes to show. Everybody said, like, honestly, there's been a lot of artists who have said, yo, some of the songs that were throwaways, or some of the songs that were not even made yet when I did an album, like, that was the last song on the album, and that song became the most popular song to come out. You know, you just never know, man. You really never know.
He said that one of his songs with Rihanna was that she was supposed to leave, and her taxi was like 20 minutes out. She came back in, created a song with him within like 10 minutes, and that became one of the biggest hits. I forgot which one it was, but it was Benny Blanco and Rihanna, and they created one of the biggest hits that she's ever, you know, produced. And I thought to myself, man, that's freaking dope. Sometimes it's just one of those things that you just throw in there and see what works. And if it's a hit, it's a hit. If it's not, it's not. You got no expectations, and you kind of just roll with it. I think the ones where people like do all the prep and they, you know, rehearse it over and over again, thinking that it's going to be something big, and it's not, I think that's when you have the biggest, like, frustration, right?
You know, Quincy Jones, rest in peace to that man. You know, that guy, true virtuoso, man. When I tell you, he would go in the studio, and his thing was, you know, he's worked literally with everybody, from Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson, like, literally everybody you could think of, Ray Charles, like, and it's Count Basie, you know, I mean, this guy, everybody he's worked with. And one of the things that he said was like, look, when you come in the studio, we leave ego at the door. He's like, I don't care how big your history has been. I don't care how many records you produced. Leave it outside. When you come in here, because he basically was like, look, when we bring ego into the room, God has left the room. You know, his thought was like, God is why we have music, like why we can come up with these sounds. It's only 12 notes that exist, right? And he was like, it's interesting that you could literally take those 12 notes and make millions of different styles of songs off of just those 12 notes alone. And
probably so, got a lot of ladies.
Quincy was the man, yeah.
You probably young have Quincy, like a high caliber of ladies, man, being like, hey.
Young Quincy was getting to it. You hear me? I mean, he was traveling the world too. He was over in Europe. Like, you know, he's actually behind one of the biggest sounds that I love. I love bossa nova, and he's actually one of the, like, the forerunners of that sound, like that bossa nova sound out of like Portugal, Brazil, you know. And it's just like, wow, this guy's literally had his hand in everything. But
I love that, man.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny you mentioned Quincy Jones, because you know, he's been married a few times, and, you know, I watched a documentary about him, and it talked about the types of women, you know, that he was with. Okay. And, you know, his wife at the time, she saw that he was traveling so much. She knew that she didn't really see him that often. And, you know, he was a ladies man, you know, he was a womanizer. So she knew that about him, and she basically was like, listen, I can't stay around anymore. Like, I have to leave. She understood, though, that as an artist, he had to go and travel. You know, she would stay home, take care of the kids, but she knew he had to go, right? So he's out there getting to the money, doing what he has to do. But her mind is like, at the end, I just can't do this too much longer.
So that's good that she's able to do that, right? So she knew what she wanted and she knew what she didn't want it, right? So when it comes to like a man, it's like what type of man would want a woman who would be in a relationship just because she felt like she had to, right? Just because she felt like she needed to for appearance. I think that'll just make anybody miserable.
Yeah. No. I agree. You know, you can always tell when somebody wants to be there and when they don't want to be there. Uh-huh. Right. And I think that, yep. You know, that's just when you think about caliber of women, right? Like, I think that when you are a certain type of man, you require a certain type of woman. I know you and I, we talked about that briefly. It's like, you know, what is it that we want in the woman that we're with, right? So like for me, I know what I look for, right? I need a woman that knows, one, if you're a hardworking man, you don't really have a lot of time on your hands, right? Like, I don't have time to always be hugged up with you. I don't have time to always be out on a date with you. But you do know that I'm taking care of it. I'm taking care of things, right? Uh-huh. The house is taken care of, right? You're taken care of, right? And so, you know, you got to be able to deal with women who know how to accept those things. Like, and if you can't accept it, that's cool too. But, you know, it's just, you need to know. You want a successful man, that man is going to also be a busy man.
And sometimes, you know, women say, hey, you go be a busy man, I'll hold it down at home. You know, and I think that's when you have that perfect relationship, right? When you got your lady holding it down, you holding it down, and, you know, it's all good. There's also times when you have needs, right? And maybe you're not, you know, giving the lady what she wants, or the lady's not giving the man what he wants. And next thing you know, they're doing their own thing. And I think that, you know, there's a level of, you know, respect that you need to have when being in a relationship. Communication, right? Knowing what you want. And if you're not there physically, you better be making love, you know, over the phone or something. Send them pictures. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit needs to happen. You
can't keep it spicy.
You have to keep it spicy. Make it fun. You know, send some chocolate roses and be like, yo, I want you to send me a video of you eating them roses, girl. You know, like little things like that, right? Like, I think when you're doing that, it just makes it fun. Being silly, you know, be sensual, you know, be loving, communicate, because communication is the biggest one. The moment you stop communicating or you have a lack of, then they're going to say, you know what? That's what I needed. I needed to hear your voice. I needed to hear you tell me that we're good. You tell me that you cannot wait to hold me, hug me, etc. Because words of affirmation is so key in any relationship. And I think one of the biggest things that hit me, one of my red flags, would be when she would say something like, yeah, I'm busy for the next 5 hours. I'll hit you back up, or I'll talk to you when I talk to you going out with her. You know, little things like that. Or when I want to talk, it's like, I'm busy. What's up? You can't pick up your phone for 5 seconds. You can't be like, hey, you know what? I'm with the family right now. Just wanted to hear your voice. I know that you were calling me. You know, I can't talk right now. What's up? Or can you call me? No, I'm busy. What's up? I'll call you in a little bit. Why are you acting funny? You know what I'm saying? Like, and it goes both ways, right? And, you know, I get it sometimes, like, you know, you may be doing something and you can't pick up the phone at the moment, but be like, hey, you know what? I'm busy right now, but let me call you in 5. Right. So I don't know. One of those red flags for me is when someone is like very distant and not communicative and not sensual in any way, shape, or form, verbally, emotionally, sensual, like in person, you know, physically. But what about you? What's some of your red flags? Where do I start?
You know, for me, you know, that's an interesting point that you brought up too. I think that, you know, when you're dealing with somebody, y'all need to keep it, you know, just keep it fun. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times when we're with someone for a long period of time, we become complacent, right? And we start saying, that's just, you know, the old ball and chain. You know, and look, we're all guilty. I know I am. You know, you with somebody for a long period of time, it's just like, she gonna be there. She not going nowhere, you know? But at the end of it all, it's like, what if they one day start texting somebody, or somebody comes back around again, or, you know, or they see somebody, right? You know, because you understand, like, most women, when they cheat, it's an emotional cheat. Like, it's an emotional tie that they're trying to make sure they can maintain, right?
Men too. And
men are animals, man. Wow. Let's be real.
Like, they're assholes.
Like real talk. Like, let's be real. You know, and you know, I've had this conversation with many friends and, you know, women in general, just like, look, I understand, like, you know, women, that's what they do because they're not getting it at home. If they're doing that, that means that there's something you're not giving them, you know, as their man. And so to me, that's just something where I try to make sure that, you know, I'm meeting those needs, right? Like, and look, we can't always do it. And typically, men are not that way. We're not emotional creatures. We're not, you know, like me, I'm an affectionate guy because I didn't get that a lot as a kid. So for me, that was one of the things that I always made sure on the woman I'm with, you gotta be affectionate. Like, that's a huge deal for me. Huge deal. You know, I don't really care so much. Like, cooking and cleaning is important for me. I used to think that was the end all be all when I first, you know, when I was becoming an adult. Oh, you gotta be able to cook and clean. But when you are a man, like, you know, you take care of yourself, right? You cook, you clean, you do your own thing. I don't need that. Like, I can do that myself. It's nice, don't get me wrong. But to me, it's just, are you able to communicate, right? Are you able to help me solve problems? Are you able to show me like a certain level of love and affection? You know, I had a hard day. I want to come in and lay on your lap. You know what I'm saying? That's cool with me. You know, and mind you, I'm
I
not
like
a,
that.
you know, like that's those are some of the things I think that a woman has to show. And a red flag for me is if, like you mentioned before, is you're not affectionate or you're just, I don't like a goofy woman. I don't like somebody that's like overly awkward. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like that, like, especially in the bedroom. Like, you know, I'm one of those guys. I'm like, when we're in the bedroom, it's time for that thing. I don't want to be doing a whole lot of laughing and a whole lot of, no, it's time to get to work.
Like that. So would you say that your standards change with age? Like,
Oh, good question.
yeah.
That's a good, you know, like, yes, absolutely. Especially being what I just mentioned about the fact that, like, there's certain things that I look for, and it's like as I get older, I'm like, that's cool. And again, it's important, but there's levels of importance, right? It's like what's most important. At this point, I care more about a woman that's focused on her career and trying to make sure she can retire in 15, 20 years, because I know
Right.
that's my goal. And honestly, it's 5, 10 years for me. So I'm like, I'm not trying to be at home by myself. Like, you know, you're calling me like, babe, how's work
My
today?
hand
Like,
you're
you know
so
what I'm
much.
saying?
It's true. It's true. Listen, my standards were, hey, we need to go out. I love going out. When I was younger, I was like, we got to go out all the time. Let's go here. Let's go there. Let's experience this, experience that. Now my standards have changed. I don't want to go out anymore. I don't want to stay in. I want you to massage my shoulders. If you ain't wanting to massage my shoulders or my calves or my head or my hands, what have you, all of me, then I'm gonna be like, no, I'm kidding. I do like massages though. But I would say my thing was going out a lot. Now I don't care for going out a lot. I actually enjoy like maybe experiencing a new cocktail at home, or let's have something else for dinner. Let's try something new. Maybe I'll make some, you know, fun pastries. I don't care for pastries, but I'll make them just because I can go to YouTube University and learn it. Or for me, I would say it's like I want to just give you things. I want to see what's on, you know, Amazon Prime. I want to see what's on, you know, the internet. If I think it looks cute on you, if it's I find some moccasins, I want to get it for you. If I find a nice robe, I want to get it for you. If I find some shoes that look cute on you, I want to get it for you. Some new flats that for work, because I listen to what you're saying and what you're complaining about when it comes to not having the right wardrobe or the right attire for work. I want to get that for you. Like, I'm a giver. Right. And I love giving. It's like, it's a big thing for me. And this goes into another red flag of mine is when a person is not receiving properly. And what I mean is like when you're like, oh, thanks. And you're just discarding something so small, which to me is very precious, right? To you, maybe it's very insignificant, right? It could be a $5 thing, could be a dollar thing, could be a $500 thing, right? It could be whatever. Money doesn't matter. It's just the thought. And when that gets discarded and not celebrated appreciatively, and you're not giving the hug or the kiss or like thank you, I appreciate that, that means a lot. That kind of kills me a little bit and makes me want to do less, right? And vice versa, you know, if they're doing something small for me, I need to take those gestures in and say thank you. That means a lot, and I've fallen guilty for saying that. Like, hey, thanks. Like, why did you get me this? I've done that before, and I've checked myself, and I've gotten checked by the person. And I'm like, I know we're human, you know, make a little bit of effort. And if, you know, you didn't receive it properly, make the effort to say, I didn't receive it properly, and I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate what you do for me. So yeah, those little things matter. You know, I don't want to be you know, a jackass.
Right.
And I don't want, you know, her to, you know, think of me differently and vice versa. You got to look at those things, and I need to look at those things, because from back then to now, I've seen that I've gotten significantly better at that, but I still have work to do.
But you know, you actually brought up a good point, because we constantly are getting better at things, right? And a lot of times that comes when you've dealt with, you know, more than one person, right? Like, and to me, I find that the DNA of one person changes with every person that they're with, right? Like, it imprints a little bit. Like, you know, you wind up learning something from each and every person you get, depending on how long you were with, of course, right? Like, you know, like maybe from one person you learn to be a little bit more just thoughtful, right? Like running a bath when they get home, or, you know, like just doing stuff like that. Like something I might not have ever thought about before. But because I dealt with one woman who did like bubble baths, who did like, you know, candles being lit, you know, she would do it for herself. And so I said, like, maybe that's something that I could do. And it doesn't take a lot of effort. You know what I'm saying? It's just something quick and easy that you can do. Or, you know, you deal with a woman like who, you know, likes to go to a specific type of place every so often, or, you know, just likes to go out to eat, or whatever case might be. Okay, let me start keeping these in mind, right? So I'll see someone on Instagram and I see a restaurant that she might like. I'd be like, oh, flag. Let me put my mark on this, right? And I even send it to her and say, hey, what do you think about this place, right? Like, you know, stuff like that. Those are the things that women love to see, because it's like, okay, you are looking at me specifically. But I feel like all those things you're learning, you're starting to build, right? It's like a muscle, right? Like the more you work it out, the more it builds and the more it grows, right? You know, and
Pause.
You know, but like, real talk. It's just one of those things. It's just like the brain, you know? Like, the more you use the brain, the more it grows. And so, for me, it's just the same with a relationship, right? Every single person you deal with is different. Different. Every single, like, you'll never find two of the exact same people, ever, right? But they do have threads, right? There is something typically that you can say, okay, this person does have this slight trait, so does this person here. You know, and there are certain things you can always look forward to do. And so, like, I think just being able to pick up on those cues. And what I'll say is, like, every person appreciates what you do, right? You know, even if, like you mentioned before, go ahead.
Do you change with each person? Do you change a part of you and adjust for each individual trait and personality?
That's a good question, man. Like, real talk, I feel like it's important to be able to change with your mate, right? Because the girl that you're with, she needs to know that you're willing to make adjustments for her.
How would she know who you were before?
Typically, you don't. Like, this is the thing. Like, you could be in a relationship with somebody y'all just met, you know, maybe you met at a bar somewhere. You don't know anything about each other but your name and your phone number. That's it. You know? Huh? Is it what?
You're going to get my Instagram. I'm going to give you my phone number. Crazy.
Like, you know, but, right. So you get my IG, right? At the end of the day, it's like, they don't really know you. So literally, as you're with the person, you're growing together. Like, they're learning them. They're learning you. And, you know, you might be this person that, like me, I'm like, listen, I have certain things that probably will never change, but I will try to make adjustments in myself, you know, to make you happy, right? Like, I'm not the type of person I'm like so adamant about this is who I am. No, like, I'm not changing for you. Like, how do you feel about that?
I don't mind adjusting a little bit. I'm myself, man. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm unapologetically myself. Like, if I'm meeting somebody for the first time, I'm going to be me. I want them to see me for who I am. I'm not going to throw all the cards out there and say, hey, you know what? I'm this, I'm that, I'm perfect, I'm amazing. I know, you know, Italian, I've traveled over 80 countries, I've been all over. I'm not going to say all these things. I mean, that'll come in time, because now you're just wasting away beautiful things that can be learned as time goes by, as you just mentioned, growing together, right? But at first, I'm just going to be me. I'm going to, you know, be a little bit of an asshole. That's just who I am. That's my personality. Can't help it. I've been told fuck off before. Right? Like, and I didn't. They fucked off and I had a drink. Like, and I've told people to fuck off too before. You know, you gotta, you know your limits and to know that you cannot change for everybody, because that's a headache. So why not just be yourself, and the person that's going to accept you for who you are, that's going to be your person. That's going to be the one that really gets you and being like, you know what? I know you since day one, and you've always been true to yourself. You've always been who you are. I've appreciated for who you are. I still appreciate you for who you are now. I've fallen in love with you because, hey, you know what? We've grown, and I've seen all the sides of you, and it's beautiful, and you're not a fake. You know, you're not this fake individual who's trying to be something that they're not. Like, everything that you've said, you've owned up to. You know, you've always said you're going to talk your shit and you're going to back it up. And I've seen you back it up way more times than I've seen anybody else do that. And I've always been that true to myself. There are times when I had to bend, right? Because I'm a straight board, man. But I had to bend sometimes just because she may not like how I do certain things. So I said, okay, let me do less of this. I may be at fault for, you know, doing it again, but I will learn and I will catch myself. So I don't mind, you know, bending for the person that I'm with, but I do mind changing for someone that I don't give two shits about.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. I think that we can all bend, right? We shouldn't change who we are, right? For a person, right? Like, I'm not going to change who I am as a man, but at the same time, can I change habits, right? Can I change certain traits about myself? Like, you know, maybe I don't take out garbage the way she might want me to, right? Okay. You know, it could be something small like that, right?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, it's things around that, like, you know, around the edges, you know, how can I work around, you know, and just make sure that, okay, this is a pet peeve of hers, right? I'm giving, okay, cool. You don't like that? I won't do that. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. You know, like, so just like I would want that, like, I don't want, you know, when you come in the house to do certain things a certain way, I would hope that, you know, as my woman, you know that that's what I want, right? That I have some variation on what I'm looking for from you. And she might be like, oh, no dude ever asked me that of me before. Okay, well, I have. So what's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'd be like the turtle.
He's ready to squabble up. But yeah, it's just, I think that that's an important thing. You know, just you think about, so the exes you were with, you know, I always think about that. Like, what would my exes say about me? Like, the girls I've been with. That was one of the things I wanted to ask you. Like, look, this is not an easy conversation to have. It's not an easy thought, right? Like,
no.
What is there that, you know, your exes would say about you?
I'll go with stubborn, hard-headed, focused. Whenever I put myself to something, I always get it done. Giver, carefree when it comes to stress and, you know, certain situations that usually would bog down on people. I tend to just let it go because I just can't be bothered with the stress. Loving, you know, I've been with a few individuals who had children, and I've always been loving towards the kids and giving everything I can towards them because that's just who I am. I've never tried to be the father figure. I've always tried to be the best friend. So I was always that type of person, high energy, because I've always wanted to match the kids. I've always, again, been in relationships where it's like, you know, they have a kid, minus a few, but I would say overall, I mean, pretty solid guy. He's solid. He's solid. Yeah. Husband material, you know, father material.
So, yeah, I think that,
what about you, Dan?
I would have to agree with you.
What about you, Ken?
I would have to agree. I think that, you know, I think that what I would say, what I've heard from, you know, some of the ladies I've been with is, in terms of things I could change, being a little too driven, a little too ambitious. I've also been told sometimes I try to give the answer without really just being there to hear them just complain sometimes. But, you know, my thing is, you know, sometimes like women will just want to tell you about their day, right? Or tell you about a situation they're having. And I'm like, okay, but why don't we just do this? Why don't we just do that? Like, oh, and then, hey, like, that's not what I want to hear from you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not what I want, you know? Like, and so it's just,
I just want you to hear, right?
Right. It's just like, man, I just want you to hear me like vent and talk about my issues and my problems. And I'm like, but this is something that bothers you. Like, we could solve this right now. Like, let's get to it, you know?
You're a problem solver.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's just one of the things that's always been a little difficult for me, but I've learned. It's just like, oh, okay, cool. You want to go, we're going to go fight? Like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we're going to go scrap up? All right, cool, let's go. You knock if you buck. I'm down.
Let's do it.
You know, but like, I think like, you know, what they would say, is that I'm just, that's also a trait that someone would like, which is that you're driven, that you are career focused, that you have a plan, because I think a lot of times women do not like men that don't have a plan. Yes, everybody might have a job, right? You might have a place that you go every day, you do a 9 to 5, but what are you trying to do 5 years from now? What are you trying to do 15 years from now? Women want to know that you have that thought in your mind. It's
ChatGPT.
like, it's not just, oh, I'm just going to work, or I work here, work there. Like, because, a lot of times women will deal with a man that has a job that they don't really care for, but they do want to know what is next on your list,
They don't
right?
want a bum.
Speak on it, brother. And that's one of the things that I think is very important. I think that they would also say that I'm affectionate. I would think that they would say that I'm a person that tries his best to just make them feel at ease, like at home. Like when you come to my house, you're gonna feel comforted, right?
Got some
They might
peace
say
for
it's a little chilly in my house because I keep my AC on, but.
Darling, let me lay you. Got you. Let me take off your shoes.
But yo, other than that, like, look, to me, it's just they want to know that you're focused. They want to know that you are a man who can take care of himself, a man who can be a good head of a household. If you are a parent, that you are a good parent, that you show love to your kids, that you take care of them, you provide for them. That's all super important stuff. So I think those are the things that, I would say might say about me. Also, I know how to switch it up too. I know how to put that suit on. When it's time to put that suit on, and I also know how to just
My
like be
birthday
going
suit.
out. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? business in the front party, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how it goes. It's just what it is.
Are you talking
That's
about a
what.
suit?
Oh yeah, suit. Yeah, like,
I thought you meant birthday suit.
No, man. Like, no, being able to, you can this guy.
Help it. I can't help it.
Nah, listen, I know. I know, man. Nah, that's just my thing. But I think too is it's just when you think about relationships and how they change us, I think we all learn from who we with, and like we talked about bums, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's very possible to find a bum. You could be with a bum. I mean, so what can make a woman a bum in your view?
Well, that's a good question, Kane. I would say a woman who just lounges out, doesn't really want to hang out, doesn't want to, go and do things, pretty much, they're like a roommate, and I think a bum for me is someone who, to be honest with you, and goes back to one of my pet peeves, is someone who flakes. You know what I'm saying? Like that hits me even harder than I think anything else. I don't like planning. I actually despise planning completely. I really do. It's horrible. I'm very spontaneous, but if I make some type of little plan, I'm like, hey, let's go out to watch this game. Let's go to this venue. I'll buy the tickets. I'll get things going. Let's go to a movie, and I'm gonna buy the ticket. I'm buying things ahead of time, right? Because there could be, a limited number. Like you can only buy so much at so many at such a time where if you go after 7 o'clock, you can't get in, right? So like, I'm doing all these things, and if they're like, oh, you know what, last minute thing, I forgot to tell my friend I was gonna go hang out with her, or I just don't want to go because of this ABC XYZ. I just think to myself, like, that's time wasted. That's excitement thrown out the fucking window. And now I have to sit here and listen to your bum ass excuses. Like, no, kick fucking rocks.
Kick
I'm,
rocks.
you know, it's so crazy going back to when you said, what would your exes say about you? When I mean, I mean. Like, I'm pretty mean. Like, I say things like very bluntly. I'm very straight to the point. I'm like, I say it, and sometimes I don't have a filter. Most times I don't have a filter, and you know this. And so I just say it. And you know what? I don't know. That's something I'm working on. It's a lifelong journey. But yeah, being blunt, and I guess that's similar to being mean. That's what gets me there. Yeah, being a bum is being a flake. Shout out to all you flakes.
I have to be honest with you, like, I really haven't come across a lot of flaky women. Like maybe I would say
Congratulations.
one. I would say like maybe one person though, but like I just don't like, well, I would say like maybe one or two. I think that's one of the things that bothers me is just, yeah, when you make a plan, stick with that plan, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You give me your word. And like to me, after the first or second time, it's like, I'm good. And mind you, like, she might come over on a regular basis and we chill and we do stuff. But if we say, okay, oh, you're going to come over this night, or, we're going to get together and do this night. Like, and I made sure I put my stuff to the side, for you, you better be there. Because if you're not there now, I've already said, okay, whoop, you got to go.
That's
And
a
like, look,
level of respect.
yeah, things can come up, sure. And things, look,
Absolutely.
that
Yes.
happens all the time, right? Like, anything could come up. Trust me, I understand that. But when it's just like, oh man, I just realized like I gotta, make that drive, and it's gonna be 45 minutes,
You
and
just realized.
you knew that. You know what I'm saying? Like, and look, like that's one of the things that I try not to ever do is like flake. Like if I make a plan, it's very rare when I cancel that plan. Like very rare. Because, already, like, women look at men like, yo, your word is your bond. Like, they.
You said very rare that you cancel a plan. Tennessee, gotcha.
Yo, this don't even ever let me live this down, man. Yo, I had
No.
a medical emergency, bro. I could not make it.
Crutches.
Bro, yo. Yo, you know
I'm a
how
Willie with the.
mad I was, man? Oh my God. Yeah, that, and I, yeah, we was gonna turn it up that way too, man. That was gonna be a crazy time.
Yo, imagine.
Oh, we were going to Knoxville, right? Was it Knoxville or was it a
Or Nashville.
Nashville? Nashville. Nashville.
Nashville. Yes,
And I was like,
sir.
yo, a lot of people might
We
be
were
like, yeah,
gonna buy some
why
cowboy
Nashville?
boots. We were gonna be doing the two-stepping,
Word. They're like, yo, why are you going to Nashville? I'm just like, look, you got to hit up, you live in this country, you might as well hit up these different states, see what's up.
People were asking you that?
I had like one or two people that was
That
like,
was none of the damn business.
why Nashville?
Why not?
Right. Why the hell not? Shit.
Why
But
not?
I'm
There's
saying?
a head roll.
But yeah, like that was my I really wish you could have done that, man. That hurt. That hurt to have to cancel that trip.
I mean, I heard you more than more get it,
Yeah. And Airbnb. Don't think I forgot about the fact that you made me still pay for that damn trip. Like, yo, I was so mad about that shit. Man, I mean they did comp me somewhat, but Airbnb. Y'all got some work to do. Let's talk.
I mean, I'd rather choose Airbnb than hotels, but that's another, we already talked about that.
I mean, yeah, like, but incidences like this, I mean, yes, some hotels won't give you your break back either, but it
Airbnb did
depends.
make you still, yeah, that's BS.
Yo, like, come on, man. And this was in enough time for you to know, like, yo, I don't like that. And like what Airbnb too, not to get on a whole Airbnb rant, but just the fact that they make you pay all these extra fees, cleaning fees and all this other stuff is like, that's just a racket. And really, like any owner can charge pretty much any amount. Like,
Whatever they want.
there's nothing really set in stone about it. That's the only thing I don't like about it. I do love staying in random ass. Like, I stayed at this one spot up in the Finger Lakes, with my ex. We had a beautiful time up there, man. Like, and it just so happened to snow. This was up in like upstate New York, right?
You throw in the lakes.
Yeah, what they call it, the bear up
Yeah.
there. You know what I'm talking about? The bear club, like when
I
you
know
go in the polar bear club.
what you're talking about.
So yeah, we was up there, and like we go up there, we chilling at the different wineries and stuff. That was a beautiful time, man. Had a beautiful time up there, bro. And then the cabin we stayed, it wasn't a cabin. It was like a, actually it was an old post office that they made into like a
That's sick.
It was honestly one of the best spots we had ever stayed at. Like, and we,
Okay.
that's one thing we used to do. We traveled to a bunch of different spots. That
Okay.
was really nice, man.
So
That was nice.
you went up there with your ex, right? Would your exes get ever get back with you? Would they ever get back with you? I mean, all your exes, when you look at it, would they ever get back?
You've been coming with the questions today, boy. Listen, real talk. I think that real talk. I think that's a hard question to answer. But I would say that I think that they know that I have more good qualities than bad. That's what I will say.
So in other
Like,
words, yes, every single one of them will say, absolutely.
I would say that
I want Kane. I want Daddy Kane.
they said and I didn't. But look, at the end of the day, that's the way I feel about it. I think I've been with. Like a lot of times when we broke up, it was never on some like real serious shit. You know what I'm saying? It was just like wrong time, right person,
I like that.
type situation. So I think that there are some cases where that would definitely be a thing where we could, where they would. You know what I'm saying? If the opportunity presented itself. And of course, if they weren't with somebody else at the time. But it's what about you? What you think?
I listen to you, man, and I'm like, man, that's pretty awesome. But their exes would be like, yeah, I still want to be with Dave. If the opportunity presents itself, I think that is, you know, pretty awesome. I burn my bridges. I burn to the ground. Now, listen, like, you're dead to me. Most of the time you're dead to me. Like, you know, the times where you still talk for whatever reasons, it could be, you know, with a lady who had a child, right? And me and that child still, you know, text every now and then. That obviously opens up room to still talk to them, just to seeing how that person was, how the child was. So there's that. But overall, man, like you are forgotten. Like, you are out of my data. The cache is cleared. I got nothing. If I see you and you're with another dude, don't bother trying to make me jealous. Don't bother doing anything, because
I don't even see.
I don't even remember you. Like, I don't remember you. Then that's happened a few times where they're like, I get a message on Instagram, like way back when, you know, you couldn't say hi. Like, was it awkward for you? I was like, what do you mean? They're like, I saw you at the bar. You know, I was like, who are you with? They're like, well, I'm talking to someone there. I was with them and some friends. And I'm like, honestly, didn't even see you. Like, I'm sorry. You're unrecognizable, because when I'm with my person, it's like an imprint, right?
For all right,
together. Yeah. And if we're separated, I mean, I don't fuck with you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to want to, you know, talk to you and play that game and all that shit. Like, nah, you out. Like, skedaddle, kick rocks.
Yep.
I'm not going to be sad about it. You know what I'm saying? But like, I need to move on. If I'm sad about, you know, every time that happens, you know, when I love, I love deeply. When I love, it's like intense. So it's very hard for me to love. I don't love often, but when I do, it's like, I still have that. It never ends. Like, I always still love someone, even though I can't be with them. I'm not in love with them, but I'll still love them. Right.
Yeah.
There's always going to be that, because you shared so much. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, for you, right? If you are with someone, doesn't matter how long, and you start to feel the big old L word, and they haven't said it to you yet, would you wait to say that you love them until after they said it, or would you still say it before they've said
it? I think that time has passed. I think we're too old for that now.
Are we?
Yeah. I think we're too old for that now.
I don't know about that.
I think so, because I'll be real with you. One, we're men, right? So typically, the man is supposed to lead in all ways, right?
Okay. Now,
I do have, you know, I've been with some women that's like, I want a man to chase after me and make me feel this way. I'm not a chaser like that. No. You know what I'm saying? My thing is, this needs to be a mutual thing. We both can see in each other like, yeah, I want you, you want me. I'm not the court me until I'm blue in the face and you know, it's just, no, that's not me. Like, this is going to be a mutual effort from day one. I'm not trying to prove nothing to you. You know what I'm saying? When we go out, we both know what it is and we get there. If I feel a way about you and, you know, that's the way I feel, I'm going to tell you. Like, I ain't got no problem.
Even if it potentially scares her away?
There's no reason why that would. Like, to me, at a certain point.
Someone wouldn't feel that way, right?
I think it depends. It depends. Well, only if they don't like you. Or only if.
What are you trying to say? They don't like me?
I don't know about your situation, bro. I don't know. But I just know in my case, that's never been an issue. Like, my thing is, if we get to a point where I can say that word, hard to say that phrase, we both know what's up. You know what I mean? Like, there is no shock. There's okay. No, oh, you feel that way? I don't feel that way. I never would have thought that that was like, no. Like, by that point, we've already kind of established certain things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, I got you.
So, that's for my thing on that.
I would say it. Again, hard for me to love. There was once when I did say it first. Kind of on one finger once. And, you know, it was after I said it, she was like, dude, I feel the same way towards you, but I didn't want to say anything. And I was like, damn.
Now you feel crazy. You're like, damn, why did I say anything?
No, well, I was feeling it, right? But I was at the same time, I'm like, you know, I always thought, you know, women say they love you first because, you know, they're emotional creatures, whatever. Men like to be hardened. But for me, like when I feel it, I'll say it. If I don't feel it and they say it, like I would respect you. Like, hey, listen, I hear you. And I appreciate those feelings towards me, because that's like, that's a big thing to trust someone enough to do that.
That's right. But it's a hard thing to say.
But I'm not there yet. And because I'm not there yet, let's keep going until I feel that way. Like, and if I don't feel that way, I will tell you. And because I don't want to waste your time, and I want you, you know, and vice versa. Like, I want to make sure that I respect your time, because that love could be directed to someone's better, because there's always going to be someone better, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. Like, I'm not the best looking man in the world. You know, not even that handsome. I'm pretty ugly, as you said earlier when we're off stream. Yes, you did say that. And I,
no, man. No, that was reversed. You said that about me, bro. I'll never forget that, man. I'm hurt.
He's lying. Anyways, he's never heard that from anybody, male or female. Okay.
I'm hurt. No.
But yeah, to answer your question, to be blunt, on burnt bridges.
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, listen, I feel you. Like, sometimes it's like that. It's like, yo, I don't need to talk to you ever again. It's up. You know what I'm saying? Anytime I see you, I will act like you don't exist. And like you said, when you with that next one takes over. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
I'm not looking at nothing else. Right.
And that's okay. Especially, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, that's the way it should be. Like, you know, one of my, like Mike's girlfriend, she actually says, she's like, you know, I used to have this thing where it was like forward movement only. Right. And that was my motto. Like, yo, you got to keep moving forward. You can't go backward. You can't go backward. Right. And sometimes we do go back. Right. We make it, I mean, we make that back.
That's human. That's human nature, bro. Sometimes, like, you know, you miss what you missed, and you miss what you had. And you know what? It could be that you miss the person. It could be that you miss, you know, talking to them because you can be real. It could be that you miss hanging out with them because you just felt like you got that vibe and it's unmatched. Or maybe you miss the sex just because, you know, shit hit different. And
yeah,
maybe other dude had a itty bitty weenie. You know what I'm saying? No offense to that. I got a shirt that says Micro Penis Club President. It's over there. But yeah, I mean, I wear that all the time. And then to that point, I was at a bar wearing this. This is a quick story. I was at a bar and I wore this shirt that says Micro Penis Club President. And it was my boy's bar. And this lady next to me, she looks at me and she's like, you should take off that shirt. And immediately the owners looked at me like, please don't do it. And I look at them and I just said, nah, it's too late. So yeah. I looked at her and I'm like, oh, really? What? Why should I change my shirt? Well, there are people who suffer with that on a daily basis, and you don't know what they're going through. I said, really? You're right. I don't know what they're going through. But there's also people who are, you know, experiencing the opposite, having too big of a cock, and it's very troublesome. I mean, they're not being able to fit in the clothes, you know, women turning them down. That's a big issue for them too. And she goes, well, I don't think that's true. I was like, of course you wouldn't think that. You never experienced it.
Right.
And she looked at me with such foulness. And she goes, you know what? You're disgusting. And I said, no, ma'am. I'm thirsty. Cheers. Just like that. The owners came over. They comped her meal. Asked her if she can scoot down. I'm not even kidding you. Asked her if she can scoot down. And they got her a drink. And they were like, dude, you are so blunt. It's funny, but it's also like, dude. And I'm like, I didn't even start it. I'm going downstairs from my crib, right downstairs. Took the elevator down. It's right there because the bar is right underneath my building. And I'm just having a drink. My shirt that I was wearing at home, I'm going to go back home afterwards, watch a show. But yeah, it was a pretty interesting conversation. And as I was leaving, she said, thank God. I was like, no. I was like, thank the drink. I finished it. I'm done. I'm out of here.
Yo, that's crazy, bro. Like, yo, some of your t-shirts, I'm like, yo, this guy right here, that's a whole other conversation for that. Yo,
we'll get to that.
You wild with tea. man, listen, you know what time it is.
Yes, sir.
It's that segment time, man. You know, that's where we talk about something that we learned today that we didn't know yesterday. So, Ace, without further ado, go ahead, take it away, man. What is it?
All right. Well, I've learned that sloths only poop once a week.
That's why they move so slow.
Sloths only need to poop roughly once every 7 days, and they can lose up to a third of their body weight in one go by pooping.
A third of their body weight? That's crazy.
I'm telling you. So if I'm, you know, doing my thing five times a day, what does that say? And it's not working for me, bro. It means I'm just full of shit, I guess. I don't know.
Yo, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
So
that's wild.
That's crazy. Mine is that this is more business related. It says about 20% of small businesses fail within their first year, and nearly 50% close within 5 years. And it says, but however, businesses that tend to survive past the 10-year mark, they have a much higher chance of like long-term success. I thought that was interesting because I think a lot of times too, especially in consulting and working with different like clients, you know, you see the same traits in businesses that tend to fail. They're not keeping good accounting in terms of like what they spend money on, not really monitoring their staff, not really keeping track of just like inventory, you know? And so you see a lot of those things happen. A lot of times businesses are not thinking about how much they need to make to break even, right? They're just like, look, I just have enough money to pay the bills, make sure everybody has what they need, and I'm good. But they don't notice over time, those numbers dwindle, right? So it's just something that I've noticed. So I thought that was a pretty interesting stat, you know? Not as interesting as a sloth, but
I mean, you got to respect the poop. You got to respect the poop.
But yeah, man. Like, so, yo, I appreciate you, my brother. This is a good part, man.
My first video, man. Let's go.
First video, man. You know, I'm gonna switch the style up on him next time too, man. We're gonna do it right. But yo, great part, my brother. You got any plans for the rest of the week? What you doing?
What am I doing? Of PT on Thursday. Nothing big, man. Just continue working on little projects here and there. Probably hang out with my cousin on Wednesday, or maybe watch the game. Maybe on Saturday as well. The Padres are heating up. Padres and the Yankees being two of four teams that are currently undefeated right now. So, you know what I'm saying? Got to show some love to the City Connect. So
it's a big look right there, brother. That's a big look.
What about you, man?
No plans for me. I'll just be around the crib, not really doing a whole lot. Probably do some stuff with the family on the weekend. Like the kids, take them out. But other than that, man, just chilling. Just being a bachelor. Doing what I do.
That's good, man. Being celibate, that must be pretty hard, man.
It's tough, man. It's, you know. But, you know, the Lord can help you get through anything, so.
With $40,000. Ushers, the doors.
Lock the damn doors.
Lock the doors.
Yo, that dude better be glad nobody filed any charges, because that's legit a charge. You can't do that, man.
He's crazy. That's
kidnapping, bro.
Well, that's yeah, some crazy shit. Next thing you know, they're going to be drinking some holy water, and they ain't going to wake up.
No. Yo, man, great pod, my brother. Had a good time. Thank you all for listening again, and yo, we'll see you next time. Have a good one, guys. Peace.
All right.